I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to The Scorecard.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
But here it is. The return to glory.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win in style. Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes!
And there's no doubt about it. The bear has come out of hibernation.
With your hosts, Score golf expert and editor of Chicago District Golfer magazine, Barry Cronin.
Well, here it comes.
Oh, my goodness.
And Mike Esposito.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most.
Better than most.
Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And we are here on your Saturday morning, getting your day started, hopefully in a good way, on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I'm Mike Esposito, alongside Barry Cronin. He is the editor of Chicago District Golfer Magazine, this segment presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. And Barry, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. How's it going?
Everything is good. Everything is good here. Had a great week. Got out once. I'll share a little with that with you in a second, but everything is good, and we've got a nice, although weather-dampened tournament going on at Muirfield.
We do, and even more importantly, Mike, we have wonderful weather in Chicago. It's going to be steamy today, but it's going to be great golf weather, and I know a lot of our listeners will be maybe on their way to the course right now, or folks will be just groggily opening their eyes listening to the show because they don't want to miss a minute of it. We'll be planning to get out a little bit later, so it'll be a terrific weekend, and we're finally getting into the golf season. No danger of snow or anything. I don't think so either.
We were joking around over Memorial Day weekend because I think it was in the 40s when we were on the air during the 6 a.m. hour. But I think summer is here, Barry. I think we're safe here on June 5th stating that summer is here.
Well, of course, we have to remind ourselves, Mike, that the Friday before yesterday, it was 46 degrees and the wind was blowing 30 miles an hour out at the Glen Club where the Corn Ferry Tour boys were out
playing the
Evan Scholars Invitational. So that was quite a... That was something that discouraged me from going there that day, although I did go Saturday and Sunday just for fun. It was beautiful weather last weekend, but Friday not so much. But we're hoping that June can maintain the good weather.
Yes, and I think we have it. I think you mentioned it here. I think summer is here. It's warm out. Guys and gals are going to be out heading to their local course, their club, wherever they're headed to play. And should be a great day to get in 18. And we do have lots to talk about this week, Barry. You mentioned the Evan Scholars Invitational. We'll talk a little about that. The Memorial going on at Muirfield right now. The U.S. Women's Open, some news there out at the Olympic Club in San Francisco. And then our guests. I may as well give us a rundown quickly of our guests on our Swing Thoughts segment from White Deer Run. Bob Malpete will join us. He's the head pro there at White Deer Run in Vernon Hills. At 6:40, Joel Hirsch, longtime Illinois golf legend, Illinois Golf Hall of Famer. He'll join us at 6:40. The founder and CEO of Tour Edge, David Glaude, will join us at 7. Plenty to talk about there, and of course, well-known products from Tour Edge. So we'll talk to David at 7. And Nick Hardy, our old pal, I think we can call him officially friend of the show, right, Barry?
There's no doubt a friend of the show. No doubt a friend of the show. Not only a friend of the show, Mike, a listener of the show.
We like it.
I saw him last week at the tournament. He actually said, you know, I heard your show. I really like your show. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can get that on the record, you know, as an endorsement. We might have to pay him, though, because he's a pro. So we'll have to see about that.
Well, he's currently playing in the Corn Ferry Tour, Nick is. But fingers crossed, looks like he'll make it to the PGA Tour in August. So we'll talk to Nick Hardy about that and his success on the Corn Ferry Tour. But Barry, let's start. Actually, I may as well start with this because it was a great experience for me. I got out one of my good friends here in town in Arlington Heights where I live, a guy named Charlie Drost, is a member at Medina, invited me out to play. So we played course one earlier this week. And let's just say, Barry, I finished fourth of the four, and that was not unexpected. But it was a great day out there. We had a lot of fun. And I was reminded yet again, as the lone member of our foursome to hit over 100, why this game is so difficult. Although Charlie, every time he would putt, would continually say, "This game is easy," as he walked his putts in. And I got a good laugh out of that. So,
well, you know, Mike, it's great that you, I think it's fantastic that you got out. Number one, everybody should go anytime they get to go out to Medina. You played the course one. Mm-hmm. They have three courses at Medina. And, of course, course number three is the big championship course where they played the U.S. Opens and the PGA Championships and the Ryder Cup in 2012, the most unbelievable sporting event I think I've ever been to. And a lot of people say that. But you were on course one, which was renovated, I would say, gosh, maybe five or so years ago. You know, you always underestimate the amount of time that's passed, so it's great that you had a good time. And my big question to you, Mike, is did you make any pars?
I did. I did, and that was my achievement of the day personally is that, you know, Charlie and our other friend Mark Toomey and Matt Bialko, the three of them, and then myself, we had a 79 and an 80 leading the pack. And then, you know, I was over 100. Let's just safely say that. I did have a par four. I get a four and a four. But I'm just far too inconsistent, mainly with my irons. And, you know, if you're getting par fives, I'm shooting probably a seven or an eight. I did get a par. And I was happy about it. And I was happy to just be, as you said, anytime you get a chance to go out to Medina, it was certainly worth it. And we had a beautiful day out, got in a great round, had fun. And I didn't embarrass myself too much, just a little bit.
Well, Medina has been an otherworldly place since it was built in the early 1920s by the Shriners, Mike.
No kidding.
And, yes, it was built in the early 1920s by the Shriners, and hence the unique clubhouse. So you know, and the Shriners also were involved with what is now Hotel Continental, and it was also. There were different, you know, they owned Intercontinental, I'm sorry, on Michigan Avenue, where the Michael Jordan Steakhouse is now located, just north of Tribune Tower. And, of course, they had what was then called Medina Temple, which is right downtown, and it housed,
you know, recently there was a disco there years ago. I don't know. Then it was a furniture store. It's right on, oh, God, it's going to, I think it's LaSalle and, oh, Ontario maybe, or Ohio, whatever. I'm sorry, I don't know. Somebody will text in, I hope.
Yep.
And tell us the exact street. But, you know, I remember when I was a little kid going to the circus there. They had the Shrine Circus. This is so dating me, and I hated it. It was an awful place. I didn't like it much, but I'd rather have been at the Sox game or something. But anyway, my mom brought me. Anyway, the Shriners were big, and they were into golf. And then, of course, the Depression hit, and it became not the Shriners anymore. Mm-hmm. The club wasn't just limited to Shriners. They allowed other people to come in. So anyway, good for you, and that's great. And were you able to go, and, you know, they have a magnificent clubhouse and locker room. Were you able to go in there?
Yes. Yes, I was. Checked out all the memorabilia, checked out the history, you know, all of the different artifacts they have and all the different souvenirs, memorabilia, everything from the tournaments played there. It was really cool. I mean, as somebody who has not played there before, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I figured I'd share it with everybody else. People who would enjoy a good Medina story. It was fun. We were out there on Wednesday, and I know you have probably played it many times, but that was a first. So
I have played it a few times. I've been very blessed to have played Medina and to meet a lot of the members who are just a terrific club, and they're always really great about hosting big time events. And you know, there are a lot of golf clubs around that don't want to host big events, mm-hmm. because they're kind of an inconvenience to the membership, because they come in, they build grandstands, there's, you know, always guys mm-hmm. running around, you know, from the tournament asking for this and that. And Medina membership is very welcoming, and two big-time events. I know that they're going to have a President's Cup out there in 2026, I believe. Of course, they had the BMW Championship there a couple of years ago when Justin Thomas won. And they're going to renovate the number 3 course again. They've had a number of renovations on that course. Yeah, and they're going to bring in an Australian golf course architecture firm in which Jeff Ogilvie, the former U.S. Open champion, is involved. And they're going to change that course a bit. So it's going to be interesting to see. They're always trying to reinvent the course and to be up to date with everything. And can't say enough about the Medina membership and they're wanting to make that course and make that club always better and always great for the Chicago golf fan.
Yes, and I appreciated my time there, and we had a great day.
Mike, I want to just say, sure. If people had known you were out there playing, they perhaps would have bought tickets, maybe, to see you on display.
Maybe in a comedic fashion, they would have enjoyed laughing at me playing. Well, but no,
if they had known what hole you were going to par, they might have perhaps gathered around the green.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. But I'm sure there were lots of pars out there at the Glen Club last week, Barry, at the Evans Scholars Invitational. Cameron Young won by 5 shots. A nice win for Mr. Young there.
Well, it was Cameron Young's second win in a row, which is doesn't happen very often on any tour. And it had been quite a while since it happened on the Corn Ferry Tour. And he was in the final pairing with Nick Hardy, who was a few shots behind beginning on Sunday. And we were all hopeful that maybe, you know, Nick could, you know, maybe the guy would get nervous and Nick could make a few birdies and Cameron Young would make a couple of bogeys and Nick could win. But Cameron Young was just out of sight. He was playing great. Nick played great too, but in the end, Nick and Patrick Flavin from Highland Park, who had received a sponsor exemption, they wound up tying for fifth. They both made about 21 grand, which is a pretty good week's work, I think.
Sure.
Not as much as a Mike Esposito.
Oh, yeah.
But the cool thing for Patrick was that he took advantage of that exemption that he received from the Western Golf Association, and was able to play this week in Raleigh at the Korn Ferry Tour event in Raleigh. So it was good for him to be able to take advantage of that. I know that the sponsors are always really happy when the player that they give a sponsor exemption to does well and makes the cut, at least makes the cut. And then Patrick did more than just make the cut. He finished fifth, and that was quite a and Patrick had won the Illinois Open there previously at the Glen Club. So he had a good weekend, so I know everybody was happy about that. His main problem after the tournament was he couldn't get a flight from O'Hare to Raleigh. There wasn't any room, so there was a debate as to whether they were going to just drive the 14 hours or however mm-hmm. long. I think it's about 14 hours in that direction.
Yes.
So anyway, so it was good to see. It was a terrific tournament. It was miserable weather there on Friday, but the weekend was gorgeous, really beautiful,
yep.
and it was really a nice event, and a lot of people from turned out to see Nick, especially they were following Nick because he was in the final pairing, but they were also out to see Patrick, who was, I think he was a one twosome behind or one or two back, so it was really a nice a neighborhood event, if you will.
Yeah, no, that we are all about the local golf scene, and that it doesn't get any better than that in terms of local golfers, local golf scene at the Glen Club for the Evan Scholars Invitational. We'll talk more about the memorial later on in the show. I know you wanted to mention, though, that the U.S. Women's Open at Olympic Club in San Francisco is going on this week, and there are some headlines there as well.
Mike, the really cool thing about women's golf now is that they're having their major championships at venues that have been made famous by the men's championship. So the Olympic Club has hosted five U.S. Opens previously, and it's just a classic golf course out in San Francisco. And so as oftentimes is the case, with an event that travels around like the U.S. Open, you know, the Masters stays in the same place at Augusta all the time. The U.S. Open, though, travels around to different clubs and different great, great golf courses mm-hmm. around this country. And so the golf course becomes the star of the show. And that's what makes the fact that the women are playing there so compelling, that the golf course is such an iconic venue. And here are the ladies out playing where the men played. And it gives them equal footing. And I think then people who are watching go, oh, I know the Olympic Club. That's awesome. Or when they play the British Women's Open at St. Andrews or some other iconic club that's on the British Open rota. So anyway, it's a really been great to see. They've had really good ratings as far as TV goes. And that's because it's being played out west, so you have primetime viewing, which is really cool. The tournament is being led by a woman named she's 19 years old, Yuke Sasso. She's from the Philippines, and also then the second place is a Korean lady named Jaejeong Lee Six. She puts the number six after Lee. So she's tied for the lead, I believe. Anyway, oh no, I'm sorry, she's second, five under par, and Yuka is six under. But here's the story: Mega Gane, the daughter of Indian immigrants who lives in New Jersey, she played in four drive, chip, and putt events at Augusta National right before the Masters. She's tied for third place. She's four under par. She's just awesome. She kind of bursts off the TV screen. Great personality, super smile, a great young lady. And she's 17 years old. She's going to be a senior in high school, Mike.
That's
so
something.
What were you doing when you were a senior in high school? Were you in the? I hope you weren't playing in the women's open, but I don't think you were playing in the men's open.
I was doing no such thing. No, and that's it's pretty amazing at 17 to be doing that. And high school junior, probably just finished up her junior year here as we sit on June 5th That's quite a story. And we are late for a break, Barry. We will get back to that though too, because I want to talk more about Mega. It's a great story. But when we come back, we will go to our Swing Thoughts segment and talk to Bob Malpedi at White Deer Run. He'll join us next. He is their head pro there as we do Swing Thoughts. It's the Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 right here on 670 The Score.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
that. Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking.
And now, The Scorecard presents Swing Thoughts, some free advice from the best teachers in the game.
And we are back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, and we love doling out free advice on golf and many other things, but really, the show is about golf, right, Barry? So that's what
right.
We're here for.
Exactly.
So we head on out to the Score Hotline, and there we find Bob Malpedi, the head pro at White Deer Run in Vernon Hills, joins us for Swing Thoughts this week. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good morning, Bob. Great to have you. Bob, I was thinking about where we met, and that was a couple of years ago.
A few years back, huh?
A couple years ago, but it was, I'll never forget this. The Chicago Bulls had just won, I believe, their first of six championships. There was a guy on that team who really loved golf. Used to like to smoke cigars while he was playing golf.
He could play a little bit.
I think he has his own course down in Florida now called The Grove. And he was playing with a guy named Arnold Palmer, and they were playing in the Wednesday Pro-Am at Stonebridge Country Club, where they didn't have even any houses built out there, but it was kind of a senior tour event back in the day. And
the Ameritech, of course, Senior Open, yeah.
Ameritech Senior Open, and of course, Michael Jordan playing with Arnold Palmer. Set the scene. Tell us what that was like.
Goodbye. No, it was incredible. It was the only senior tour that was on CBS and the mainline channels, and we had 40,000 people come out that day for a senior event. It was just crazy, but it really was exciting to be able to see the people and the excitement that they had with Michael Jordan. You know, everywhere he went, people were all over him, and Arnold Palmer was so gracious. What a great guy. It was a lot of fun, I'll have to say, through the years there. We were there, I think, 1991 through 1995 were the years we were at Stonebridge. It was great.
Yeah, they did a terrific job, and one thing I'll remember about that is the first hole is a par 5.
Correct, dog leg around.
And I believe, is there water on the left, or am I wrong?
No water on one. That's on 18.
Oh, that's 18. Okay, but people were lined up from the tee all the way down both sides of the fairway, all the way to the green, and they must have been 5 or 6 deep. Am I exaggerating that?
No, absolutely. My wife was in the crowd there, and she said it was unbelievable, the excitement that they had. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun. And Meritech Senior Open, they did a great job in promoting it. And we had some great champions. Mike Hill, Hale Irwin, I think, were a couple of the winners there. So it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they had some real characters back there. Of course, I believe Trevino was there.
Chichi Rodriguez was also there, and he was always a crowd pleaser.
He was always a crowd pleaser. You know, to sit in the media center back in those days and just listen to those guys, and I'll never forget when Trevino went in his pocket after it was over, and he pulled out, I'll never forget this, the wad of cash that he had in his pocket. It was the most unbelievable thing. I thought, is this guy a Brinks driver? Is he delivering money? It was quite unbelievable. But yeah, it was great. And, of course, now that club has been hosting a couple of LPGA events a number of years ago. And
sure.
It's good. But
sure.
You're out at White Deer Run, and that I was going to ask you about. That's kind of changed hands a little bit now. What's going to happen?
Well, this is, it's owned by the city of Vernon Hills, and the Pelote Company had a lease on it for, since the beginning. late 80s, I think, is when they came on board. And they decided to get out of the golf business. They owned Boulder Ridge and in Lake in the Hills and had a lease here. And the Heritage Group came in. It's a golf group from the East Coast and wanted to buy Boulder Ridge. And then they found out about White Deer Run and eventually purchased both of them. They purchased the lease and purchased Boulder Ridge. So it's been a good experience there. They've got golf courses, you know, South Carolina, Florida, and Virginia, and now in the Midwest. They've got a course up in Milwaukee, Mequon Golf Club up there.
Oh.
So, no, it's going to be good. They're golf people, and they want to, you know, make improvements, and we'll do a lot of things. I think it's going to be a positive effect here on the golf course and for the people of Vernon Hills.
That's terrific. All right, Bob. Now, you've been around. The other thing you were telling me about your own background was I didn't know that you had run a golf course in Germany on behalf of the United States government.
I did. Stuttgart Golf and Ski Club. I was there for 3 years, and it was quite an experience to come out of college and to take a trip over to Europe, and all of a sudden I'm working there. So my brother was an officer in the military, and he was the officer in charge of the club, and I went over there and worked for him and eventually started to run it after he moved on. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
And then you went out to California. I did not know you have a couple of impressive clubs from California in your background.
Very lucky. Riviera Country Club, of course, where they have the, I still call it the LA Open. It shows you how dated it is. But
Dottie Pepper still calls it the Dinosaur, too, so that's okay.
There you go. So I'm in good company. Right. And then they had Bel Air Country Club was another great experience with all the celebrities there. You know, I got to play golf a lot with Joe Namath, which brings back a guy from the past. Him and Glenn Campbell used to play a couple times a week, and for some reason they invited me to play along, and it was a great experience, a lot of fun.
So was Joe Namath as good a guy as he seemed to be?
He was just absolutely wonderful. He couldn't walk a yard. I felt so bad for his knees were so bad. He took a cart all the way around, and, you know, at Bel Air, they take a lot of caddies. But, no, he was really a nice man. He was very – when I left, I went from Bel Air to Riviera, and when I left, he called me, and he said, you know, let's play a round before you leave. And we played my last round at Riviera with him, and it was nice. He was a good guy. Good
That's
guy.
Cool. And Glenn Campbell.
Boy,
late Glenn Campbell, we have to say.
Yes, correct. He sang all the way around. it was fun. I mean, we never knew when he was going to go into song. usually when he made a birdie.
No wonder. Yeah, exactly. Well, Bob, having been around all these years, and I, you know, I don't want to date you, of course, but
no, please.
We look at golf, and just in terms of our swing thoughts and. Is there any advice you've seen all this whole span of time, right? So do people, is the advice that you would give to people the same now as it was then, or have people changed their golf, or has all this equipment and the ball improvement, et cetera, helped people, or are they still having the same problems as they did 30 years ago?
I would say equipment has been a big factor in people's game. It certainly has made it easier, just like tennis with the bigger racket. The golf clubs have made a huge difference. You know, the basics are still the same. I think balance, by far, balance is, and the grip and the setup are number one in when I'm teaching. If you're not balanced and you're hitting through the ball, you're never going to hit the shot straight. So I think balance would be my first thing, the grip, the setup, also important. You know, some of these tour pros right now, the injuries are being caused by trying to hit it so hard. And, you know, everybody sees them straighten that left leg at impact. And when you straighten that left leg and there's no release to the back, you're going to create a lot of injuries. And we see that with some of the top players. So when I'm teaching, balance is number one. Please stay balanced. Get the center of gravity in the middle and the follow through and get off your right side onto your left side. So that's what I would tell the golfers today.
Yeah,
Bob Malpede is our guest. White Deer Run in Vernon Hills. WhiteDeerGolf.com is the website. And Bob, I was telling Barry in the last segment, I got out and played earlier this week. And what was really killing me, aside from putting, but my iron play was so inconsistent. And, you know, you'd hit a good drive, and then, you know, my iron play was extremely inconsistent. Is balance, are you giving me the same advice that you just said about balance there?
Where were you hitting it? Hitting it short, hitting it right?
Hitting it all over the place. It was just very inconsistent.
I would have to say your swing path and your balance, yeah. I would have to say, if without seeing you, that probably is what you need to do.
So what some pros might tell you, Mike, is their advice would be take 2 weeks off and quit.
For sure, I think that.
I usually say 2 weeks off and take up tennis. That's where I would probably say to go to.
Well, Bob, you know, when you talk about the grip, and I agree with you about the grip, and you always hear about how Arnold Palmer's dad, Deacon, told him, you know, he taught him how the grip was. He said, you know, here's your grip and don't ever change it. But then there are people, you know, prominent teachers who will tell you that depending on how they analyze you swing the club, that you should have a different kind of grip. You know, you look at like some of these pros, like a Ricky Fowler, right? He has a pretty really strong grip. And then you look at Jordan Spieth, and he's got a pretty weak grip. And I've heard people say there's no way he can be consistent on the tour, even though he has three majors, playing with that grip. So you say grip, but which grip?
No, you're absolutely right. I think you have to look at each student, and you have to make that decision. You know, the main thing is you never want to get the grip in the palm of your hands. You always want to get it in the fingers. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of swings with the grip. They're gripping it too tight. Mm-hmm. So, no, the strong grip, the weak grip, you know, it depends on the student. I would say most of the students you're teaching, at least that I'm teaching, are you know, beginner students. They're more of the middle of the road golfers. So I'm going to try to stick with the basic with them. And if I have to get a little stronger grip just to help them get through the shot, I'll do that too. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, Bob. Well, you know what? We are out of time, unfortunately, in the segment. I definitely enjoyed the tips. And certainly I'm sure our listeners enjoyed hearing a little Joe Namath and Glenn Campbell stories. Who knew?
A lot of fun. Guys, thank you so much. Barry, Mike, good to talk to you. And see you out on the golf course. Come on out and play.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it very much. Mike's going to come out, and it's going to be awesome.
That's right.
We got to get a crowd for him.
I got to take a look at those irons.
Yes. Bob, I need all the help you can give me, my friend. So we appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Bob.
Bob Malpede from White Deer Run, whitedeergolf.com. If you'd like to hit up Bob for a private lesson or make a tee time booking, any of that, you can certainly do that right there on the website, Barry. And I should mention, too, as we talk more about what's forthcoming up in the show, we'll talk to David Glad at 7. He is the founder and CEO of Tour Edge. Nick Hardy from the Korn Ferry Tour, from the U of I, from Northbrook. He will join us at 7:40. But coming up next, Barry, a man with a very colorful story, longtime Illinois golf personality, and I guess, do we call him legend, Barry? Illinois Golf Hall of Famer?
No, there's no doubt that Joel Hirsch is one of the great legends of Chicago golf, one of the great amateurs in the game. And we in Chicago, it's a big market, so we like big name people, Tiger Woods and, you know, Arnold Palmer that we just discussed, Michael Jordan. So there are people who exist quite a little bit under the radar, but who are still unbelievably accomplished and fabulous, and that would be Joel Hirsch, and he's coming up next.
Yep, we will talk to Joel in a moment. This segment brought to you by Chicago Dogs Baseball. Chicago Dogs Baseball is in action this weekend at Impact Field. Promotions include fireworks, a T-shirt giveaway, and Family Sunday. Get your Chicago Dogs tickets now at thechicagodogs.com. When we return, Joel Hirsch will join us right here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And we are back on The Scorecard. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here with you. The tour at Muirfield, Barry. We have Ohio music this week.
We do.
Nothing says Ohio a little more than The Pretenders.
Oh, one of the great songs of all time. And the great intros of all time. Very popular.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So we will be Ohio heavy, as they say here on the scorecard today. I also wanted to remind everyone before we get out to Joel that to log into the CDGA's website, cdga.org/contest, our contest, register to win a CDGA season starter pack. You would get an Imperial hat, towel, and zero friction super tube with Spectrum at balls, tees, and a universal fit glove. Everything you need to start the season. So cdga.org/contest. But Barry, let's now head on out to the score hotline. He is a member of the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame. His resume is extremely impressive and many miles long, but we're pleased to welcome Joel Hirsch onto the scorecard today. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Barry, Mike. Nice to hear your pearly tones.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us, Joel. You probably want to know that your alma mater, University of Illinois, made it to the quarterfinals of the NCAA, and one of their players, Michael Feagles, finished fourth in the individual. So they're doing great, and I know you're happy to hear that.
I sure am. Mike Small has done a fabulous job.
He really is.
They're a great team and a great franchise down there.
Right. Well, Joel, you are a legend of Chicago golf. People, you're a little bit under the radar because you're not on the pro tour, so people don't always recognize the amateur game. But you turned 80 the other day, and you won two British amateur championships, 96 and 2000, back-to-back winner of the Illinois State Amateur, CDGA player of the year a couple of times, four-time Western Open participant. The last one, you were 58 years old. Joel, you play golf all the time. How much have you been playing lately?
Well, today I'm taking off. In the last 28 days, I played 26, and I was on the road. We were on the West Coast for my birthday and had a great celebration, so I was getting up in the morning between 5:15 and 6:30 every morning. I don't mind doing that because I'm so passionate about golf. But meanwhile, I wore myself out. So I know since then I'm taking today. And I'm going to have withdrawal symptoms, I'm sure. But anyway, I'm going to not play golf today.
Oh, wow. Well, and typically when you play, Joel, how many holes a day do you play?
Well, I play 18 for sure, but a lot of times I'll play 36. You know, I don't walk all 36. If I'm playing a 36-hole day, I'll walk 9 and ride 27. If I'm playing 18, I typically will just walk all 18. By the way, in 96 and 2000, those were senior British amateur championships. I was runner-up. I never won the British amateur, but in 81 at St. Andrews, I was runner-up in the British amateur. I'm still upset about that, but it was nice winning two seniors to kind of take some of the pain away.
Yeah.
By the way, I've got to say something. You know, I read this June edition of the Chicago District Golfer. I'm telling you, you guys put out the greatest magazine. Barry, you're the editor, and you just do a wonderful job. The advertisements are even fabulous. I'm reading this, I'm like, geez, you know, I got to get back to Bermuda. I've never been to French Lick. There, I got to go back there. And I mean, it's like the Glen Club. I mean, you got all these wonderful spots and great advertisers in the magazine. To say nothing of the wonderful articles and all that. I mean, it's a terrific publication. Thanks for sending it over.
Well, thank you, Joel. That's very much appreciated, and we really love our advertisers. I love the advertisers sometimes more than I love the writers, but that's okay.
Well, and Joel, we wanted to talk to you a little about your background. And what fascinated me is that as I was reading in your bio here on the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame page, is that you're primarily self-taught. I am fascinated So how did that come about? And I know you grew up playing at Sunset Valley, where you helped support the new short game area.
Yes, Sunset is very close to my heart. I started caddying there when we moved to Highland Park from Buffalo, New York, when I was 11 years old, 1952. And it was great for kids. Center of Highland Park, we lived in West Highland Park. I could ride my bike over, and sometimes I'd shag balls when the pro gave a lesson. Back in those days, there were no driving ranges to speak of. Courses just had a little area, maybe down the 18th fairway, where the pro would give a lesson. So I caddied for all the best players. Not only were they good players, but they were the best tippers, and I always knew where to find them, even at 11. So I would caddy for them, and, you know, watching them, I learned how to play. And then when I was shagging balls for the pros, Pro Bill Chambers was pro's name. He is a terrific old guy. And he was probably like 45, but he was old for me when I was 11. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, after the lesson, he might say, Joe, let me see your grip. So I would tweak it a little bit. And then, I'd be doing some more shagging for him, a couple of weeks later. Joe, let's see, you hit a couple balls. Your alignment's a little off. So that's really how I learned to play golf. Not formal lessons, but I got plenty of help. In Sunset Valley was just the most wonderful place growing up. And as an adult today, it is a fabulous way. I got an award, best number one international reservation for public golf course in the world. I think it was 2018 or 2019. Rick Jacobson did an absolute fabulous job. He's a wonderful architect who restored that golf course, and they're going to do 45,000 rounds this year. They were doing like 18, 19,000 before the renovation. Golf was in a slump, and as you know, golf has really taken off. It's fabulous, and that golf course, people are voting with their dollars. I mean, they're just coming out in droves, and now with this new short game area, it's even better yet.
Hey, Joel, I just wanted to ask you, going back a little bit, when you got out of the University of Illinois, early 60s or whatever, mid-60s, did you ever think, and you know Arnie and Jack and a lot of pros, et cetera, over the course of your life and career, did you ever consider turning pro, and what helped you make the decision not to?
Barry, what happened was, up until I was 19, I wanted to be a professional touring golfer, and not a club pro. I have enormous respect for club pros, but I wanted to be a tour player. And I, here at the university, had a golf scholarship at University of Houston. University of Houston back then were winning 11 out of 13 NCAA championships and all. And it was harder to golf. So if you really wanted to know what your chances were, that's the place to find. And if you were fortunate enough to get a golf scholarship there, that was really the cat's meow. So I got one. I go down there. I'm like six man on the freshman team. About a dozen guys on the varsity team. About 10 of them could beat me most days. And I knew I was going to continue to get better and better, but I started looking at the money list for the pros that were on tour. I think Jack Wall, Art Wall, in 1960, which this time period covered, was a leading money winner. I think he won 64 grand. Now you go down 20, 25 spots, and you see guys, making 25 grand or whatever. And not that it's a lot of money, mind you, especially back then. But, I try to figure out where I'm going to end up. and I got five guys on the freshman team that can beat me at Houston, about eight guys on the varsity team that can beat me. And I started thinking there are some guys on tour that can beat me, of course. And I'm thinking I got to get my tail to University of Illinois, maybe get a little better education. And not that University of Houston isn't a fine school, but I wanted to get closer to home, make some contacts. And I decided then that I was going to pursue an amateur in business career.
Very good. So that was obviously a great decision because you've have had a fabulous business a career in insurance and real estate and everything that guys like me don't understand. So it's really a great career, and of course your ability to give back to the game has been second to none, and we really appreciate you being on and all your philanthropy toward the Sunset Valley short game area over there is I know very much appreciated by the folks up in Highland Park and by Rick Jacobson who designed it, and by our good buddy Ed Sherman who's on the committee.
Yes, Ed's a wonderful fellow. Great. He a lot of good stories about Ed. He is. He is really special. Yeah, do you have a second?
Well, we probably got to go to break here, but
okay.
So we do appreciate having you so much, Joel. You're a legend of golf in Illinois, a member of the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame, and I hope that your being on the show helps people who may not know who you are in golf in Chicago be aware that there's greatness in our midst, and we really appreciate you being on.
Barry, Mike, you're very sweet to have me. Thank you very much. You men have a great weekend.
You too, Joel. Have a great day. That's Joel Hirsch, member of the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame. Fascinating backstory. And we could have talked to him for another segment, but alas, we cannot as we have to move on. But we do. I mean, hey, hour two coming up, my friend. You got Nick Hardy at 7:40. University of Illinois, Northbrook, and Corn Ferry tour player, a friend of the program, as we like to call him. But coming up next, the CEO, founder and CEO of Tour Edge, David Glod, will join us. Now, that's a fascinating story. We'll talk to David next and talk about some of his new products and the backstory to Tour Edge, which is also a fascinating story. All of that and more when we come back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here on 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.